Today Network and BTN Radio. Brought to you by HireVeterans.com, America's job board for U.S. veterans. Let's get this show rockin'!
I spent all my years fighting for a place in the sun. And I hit the ground running, thinking it was all about fun.
I'm on with Bill Mabra. He's a U.S. veteran, U.S. Army, served in Iraq in the early 90s. He's an international businessman. He's in the SEO business and the high-tech industry. He's also a Minnesota Vikings fan who's just coming off a major victory this past weekend. Bill, are you on the line?
I'm here, JP.
Perfect. Bill, obviously, you're out there in Cancun, Mexico. Is that correct?
Yep, I'm here.
Perfect. And I understand the weather's really great out there. It's about 78 degrees, nice and warm. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's beautiful today.
Wow. You know, over here on the west coast of the United States area, we're cold. We got rain and it's really cold. I got the fire burning. So it's a whole different vibe down here. So yeah, I'm glad to talk to you. Looking forward to getting this started. We're going to talk about business and how to make money during the age of Trump. Bill, in the tech industry right now, people are freaking out. They're really concerned about a Trump presidency, that it's going to reduce their businesses. He wants Apple to relocate all its manufacturing back to the United States. This is going to create all kinds of havoc in your industry. Bill, tell me about the tech industry. What do you think is going on, and where is the money going to be made in the next 4 years?
Well, that's a good question, JP, and I'm not sure that I have all the answers, but I can tell you what I'm seeing so far on my end. Obviously, Silicon Valley is going to be a little bit up in arms because just the simple fact that Donald Trump's got some executive power to wield around when it comes to immigration. You know, they've got a lot of programmers from India, Pakistan, other areas in the Middle East and things like that. And, you know, most of these guys come in with the promise of a green card, but not a lot of money. You've got companies like Facebook and Google, a whole host of other companies that are paying these guys peanuts and getting all this programming, you know, top-notch, you know, world-class programming. And that could go away if the immigration status changes. So I think where you're going to see a lot of growth is going to be in the private sector and small businesses, small to medium businesses. Traditionally, Republicans, people like Donald Trump, he's a businessman. He's going to offer tax cuts and tax incentives for people to grow their small, medium businesses. And I think that's really where you're going to see a lot of growth.
And in the high-tech industry, are we going to see a shrinkage?
Well, the problem is when you're talking about Apple, you know, right now, what is the iPhone 6? I think if you get an iPhone 6 or an iPhone 7 on a plan, you know, they give it to you, but they work that price into the 2 years that you pay Verizon or Sprint or whoever it is you're paying. If you just out and out buy that iPhone, you know, go to eBay or someplace like that, and you can buy one for maybe $500 or $600. The problem is if they are not able to outsource a lot of that work, and a lot of that work is brought back to the States, obviously their costs go up. When their costs go up, you know, the cost of what you sell goes up. So where we're paying, you know, $500 or $600 for an iPhone, you know, that could be $1,000 maybe if things under Trump are changed the way that he says. Now, what he says he can do and what he actually does.
Now, when it comes to immigration, he's talking about deporting mostly, you know, low-skilled workers, unskilled workers, you know, dishwashers and car washers. I'm not 100% sure if he's talking about the M1 visas that he wants to get rid of these high-tech workers that are coming here on visas from India or from all over the world. Are you familiar with that, or is that something you know about?
You know, I'm like you, JP. I keep my ear to the pavement as well. And what I'm seeing, you know, both on the news and online, and, you know, it's kind of hard right now to separate what's really news from, you know, a lot of the fake news that we're seeing. But really, I just don't think that you can make any judgments about immigration until he actually gets in office and see what he's going to do. But, you know, he's always been saying that the people he's going to deport are the people that have criminal records. Interesting about that was on the 60 Minutes interview, he said there was 2 to 3 million people that would be deported. Well, JP, there's not 2 million people in the United States right now that have criminal records that are not undocumented. That number is just not that high. So I don't know where he was getting that.
I never understand what this guy's talking about because he talks out of his ass. I mean, to be honest, I don't know what he's talking about. I mean, there's only 2 million people in jail in the whole United States. So it was a very confusing statement.
Well, a lot of times what Trump does, because he's a marketing guy, and because he's, you know, because he's a Celebrity Apprentice reality TV guy, he likes to take a fact that, you know, he'll take something that is a fact. You know, he'll find something that's a fact, and then he'll embellish it, or he'll, you know, he'll massage it, and he'll craft it, you know, into, you know, he'll wordsmith it into something that, you know, works for him. When, you know, when you...
So we as economy planners and people that are looking at the United States and going, where are they going? We're supposed to be interpreters of his marketing embellishment?
Well, I guess if, you know, if Donald Trump has his way, we would all just blindly follow everything he says. But thankfully, you know, the United States is a democracy and there are checks and balances. So, you know, it's like I remind a lot of people, yeah, Donald Trump won the election. Nobody knows how, but he did win. But he didn't get elected king. He was elected president. And he himself is going to have a lot of checks and balances. So, no, he's not going to be able to just come in and have carte blanche to do anything he wants.
So you're saying in the tech industry, some people might get deported, but it won't affect the tech industry as much as they think it might.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of speculation and a lot of panic that is at this time right now is unwarranted. Now, 6 months from now or a year from now, maybe that will be warranted. But I'm still taking a wait and see approach. You know, again, what he says he's going to do and what he's legally able to do and what he's legally able to accomplish, you know, with Congress and with the Senate, you know, they've already said, even though they're Republican, they said, we're not just going to rubber stamp everything he does.
You're not really expecting maybe right now a downtick in the tech industry, just maybe some hiccups here and there. That's more likely. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm saying I don't think anything's going to change for at least 6 months to a year.
Where are the opportunities to make money during a Trump administration based on his upcoming policy promises? He's going to be building a wall, or should we all get jobs building walls and bricks, or what do we do? Who's going to make money in this business?
I don't know. I'm not very good with concrete, so I'm going to stay away. I'm going to stay away from building the wall. Somebody sent me a thing the other day I thought was pretty funny. It had a picture of Trump building the wall, and underneath it was El Chapo, you know, digging under the wall.
Yeah, that's true, right?
It's a very interesting dynamic between Mexico and the United States. You know, in some ways, Mexico needs the United States. And in some ways, the United States needs Mexico. So, you know, it's going to be a very interesting dynamic between Presidente Enrique Peña Nieto and Donald Trump. You know, obviously they had one meeting. It went very well because they didn't talk about the wall. But at some point, they're going to have that conversation. And then the next thing, the conversation is going to be who's going to pay for the wall. So I think that's where you're going to run into some problems is, you know, building the wall, the cost of the wall, who's going to pay for the wall. And honestly, even if they started on the wall right now, I don't think it would be done in 4 years.
Yeah, I know. He made it sound like it's going to be done in 2 weeks.
No, think about it. I mean, if you really think about the logistics of two things. First of all, building a wall along the entire border, okay? There's a reason why it's not been done before, okay? The other thing is, I mean, because just the logistics of it is crazy, and the amount of money and the amount of manpower that it would take, it's just crazy when you think about it. And then when you talk about deporting, okay, let's deport 2 million people. Have you ever thought about the logistics of that and how much it's going to cost and how many people you're going to need to round those people up and deport them? I mean, just don't see that happening, at least not right away.
Well, one of the promises Trump made to his supporters is that he wants to launch a trade war with Mexico and impose a 35% tariff because he wants to kill NAFTA and bring manufacturing jobs back to the United States. He's also a proponent of not raising the minimum wage, and he wants to keep that floating. So what he promises, it sounds like, is a trade war. And to bring those jobs back, he's going to create a bunch of maquiladoras in the United States paying, I don't know, below minimum wage or at minimum wage jobs for everybody. I'm not sure what that means, but where are we going with this? I mean, I want to try to figure out, how do I make money in this industry? People are listening out there. What are they going to do for jobs? What are they going to do for business opportunity?
Well, JP, I mean, really, it comes back to the question of, you know, big businesses. You know, look at Ford Motor Company. If they can produce a car for half the price and do it in Mexico and still import it and make way more money than building it in, you know, Detroit, then, you know, a lot of times those economic type of decisions, they kind of make themselves, you know what I mean? Like, for example, if the Ford Motor Company determines that, you know, under a Trump administration and because of tax breaks he's going to give them and incentives that he's going to give them, well, it turns out that they can produce the same car in Detroit just like they would in Mexico. Well, then sure, of course, they'd like to keep the jobs at home and keep the jobs to American workers. But, you know, again, it becomes a question of dollars and cents. If Ford's going to compete against, you know, all the other car companies, Well, then they've got to do everything in their power to keep costs down. Otherwise, they're going to price them. If they do everything in the United States and they're paying twice as much, well, then the cost of that car is going to be twice as much. So really, it's a question of big businesses in the United States and the large corporations is what is the incentive for them to stay?
Right. Well, if they stay, well, if they come to Mexico and produce in Mexico, they're going to have to spend that 35% extra sending that car over to California to sell it. So if Trump does that and makes it cheaper to make in the United States and really expensive to buy it from Mexico, so to speak, then what? I mean, what are we talking about here? We're talking about increasing the manufacturing jobs in the U.S., but at what cost? That $40,000 SUV is going to be $80,000 or $100,000 or something, I guess. I don't know.
Well, in Mexico, yeah. But if you live in L.A. or you live in the United States and you work, or you live in Detroit and you work for Ford, you know, you're probably going to be happy that they didn't move the plant to Mexico. So, you know, on the one hand, yeah, internationally, you know, the United States could suffer depending on what type of agreements he makes and how he renegotiates NAFTA if you're talking about, you know, Mexico specifically. But in some ways, I do think that it is the president's job to try to keep companies, you know, especially the larger companies, the revenue producing companies, the companies that provide thousands of jobs for people. I think it is the president's job to do everything in his power to try to keep it if he can and try to keep them, you know, manufacturing at home and keep the jobs in the United States if it's possible. It's not always possible, though.
So do you think possibly that manufacturing jobs will rise in the United States over the next 4 years?
I think they will. I think the jobs will increase. You know, and one thing we never talked about, JP, you know, everybody's scared about immigration and him and President-elect Trump, you know, getting in and deporting all these people. And that may happen. I mean, you may have a very valid, you know, point there. But did you realize that under the Obama administration over the last 8 years, there's been more deportations and more of that than any other presidency in history?
Yes, absolutely. That's why it was so perplexing to hear the alt-right and the right-wing complain about deporting immigration. In fact, there's less Mexicans going across the border now than ever to get jobs. So that's way down. Here at the border, we see that. Of course, all the deportations that Obama did. So it was a very weird conversation. It was almost like factless, not fact-based, but factless. It was a weird conversation to have.
Well, let's call a spade a spade. I mean, you know, the same reason why, you know, people run drugs across the border in Mexico to the United States. Why? Because people in the United States like to buy those drugs. Same thing with illegal workers. If illegal workers come across the border and they're able to easily pick up jobs where they get paid cash, well, they're going to keep coming. When the United States puts a stop to that and stops, you know, hiring people, you know, to work for cash and be paid under the table and things like that, well, then, yeah, there's no reason for them to come across.
I noticed that today he had online his Chris Kobach was caught. He didn't have his report in a folder, and they caught him on camera. And he's got the plan to register Muslims out in the open. And that was caught on camera today. So that's kind of strange. I don't know if he's talking about Muslim immigrants or talking about American Muslims, but he's talking about definitely registering them like, I mean, for lack of a better word, like the Nazis did with the Jews, just, you know, register them. That's how it starts. But that's a very strange thing that's going on in the States right now. There's a lot of weird stuff going on. I don't know where this is going. And I think a lot of people have anxiety over it, especially about how to make money, how to get a job, what business to be in. It's so freaking confusing because we're not getting clear signals from Washington, D.C. and from Donald Trump. It's just not clear. Specifically, Donald Trump likes to embellish. I mean, this is ridiculous. We need a clear signal for the markets to survive and to move. For example, should we be shorting the peso? I mean, if they're going to launch a trade war, I guess the peso is going to go from 20 pesos a dollar to what, 40? What do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's already at 20 now. And I mean, if you're like, I'm in a situation that's a little different. Obviously, I get paid in dollars, so it's okay. But I have a lot of friends here that they get paid in pesos, okay? And when the dollar changes, their paycheck doesn't change. They still get the same amount of pesos, but it's just their pesos don't buy as much anymore. So, yeah, there's a lot of fear about that. I can tell you this. In my business, I actually have probably, I think he's either the largest or the second largest gold and silver bullion dealer in New York City. It's Bullion Trading, LLC. Shameless plug there for my client. Anyway, he told me that right around the time of the election, right before the election, He said he was busier than he can remember, like even busier than when Obama was going to get elected or right after Obama got elected. He said he was busy then, but he said right before the Trump-Hillary election, he was more busy. He had basically he was almost sold out of every, you know, every coin, every gold bar, every silver bar, everything that he had, which he said that almost never happens. He always has inventory. Right after the election, it was announced that Trump won. All of a sudden, people stopped buying. Now, I don't know why that is, but you would think that if there was uncertainty in the marketplace, that they would buy even more after they know that, you know, this guy got elected who, you know, is not a Washington, D.C. insider. He's not a politician. He's never held any office. He's never been a senator or a congressman or a governor or anything, you know. So I don't know what that tells you, but it tells me that the people that were investing heavy in gold and silver were a lot more worried about Hillary becoming president than Donald Trump.
Okay, so you're saying a Trump presidency is going to be more stable for the markets?
I think it's going to be better for the small and medium business owner. I think it's going to hurt some of the bigger businesses, especially if they rely on a lot of illegal labor or low pay, you know, immigrant, you know, green card status type labor, you know, like you see in Silicon Valley. You know, some of those companies are going to get hurt. But, you know, it's like anything. You know, when Obama came in, when Bush came into office, you know, any new president that comes along, there's going to be some people that benefit greatly from it. And there's going to be some people that get hurt. My hope is that we stimulate the economy and we stimulate small and medium business, you know, to the point where, you know, the minimum wage does go up. And the deficit that we have right now, hopefully that will go down. Hopefully the spending will go down. Hopefully, you know, we'll be able to repeal some of the healthcare issues that people are having. I know people in the United States right now that were very happy with their healthcare plan. They were paying $600-$700 a month. They were told that they could keep their healthcare provider, which wasn't true. They had to switch. And now they're paying, some of them, $1,200 and $1,300 per month for a healthcare plan that's not as good as what they have. So, you know, these are some of the types of things that I'm waiting to see. I really hope that, you know, I'll take the good with the bad. I mean, I'll take the Donald Trump with the, you know, the tweeting at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's okay. You know, if he's going to make some of these changes, that will help.
Okay. Now, one thing I want to talk to you about, Bill, because this might have something to do with your business in Cancun area. If the dollar moves from 20 to 40, and by the way, listeners, in the late 90s, it was about 10 to 1. It was stable all the way through, 2010, maybe? I would say so. Recently, in the last 3-4 years, it's gone to 15 and then up to 20 now. If it does go from 20 to 40 or 20 to 30, the beneficiaries are going to be U.S. citizens coming to Mexico on vacation or even buying homes. For example, you have a bunch of homes for sale at $60,000 homes in the Caribbean near the ocean. If that remains a stable price point in pesos, then the international buyer, specifically the person that has dollars, is going to really benefit. Is that correct or incorrect?
That is 100% correct. What you're going to see, if the peso goes to, you know, 30 to 1, you're going to see pretty much no Mexicans buying anything as far as property. You know, no, there won't be hardly any Mexican nationals investing. You know, only your top of the line, you know, $1 million+ properties, which, you know, the people that buy those, no matter what the economy does, they still have the money to buy those. But you're going to see a lot more people from the United States and possibly even Canada, depending on what the Canadian dollar does, you know, against the peso. But that's one of the things that kind of killed me. At the beginning, I thought I was doing a good thing when I set up my houses. I had them at $60,000, now they're actually at $50,000. For a 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom, but still, even at $50,000, since I priced it in dollars, there's a few developments right around where I have mine, and they sell in pesos. So the problem has been, since it's at 20 to 1 now, you know, they're looking at 900,000 pesos or 850,000 pesos. They're looking at mine for 50,000 US. They do the math, and now that it's 20 to 1, they say, hey, I can buy this house, you know, $7,000 or $8,000 cheaper than yours. You know, and they're right because of the exchange rate. And in that way, the business, you know, the real estate side of things is kind of hurt me a little bit. But
But that's okay. I'm pretty sure that we're going to rebound and we're going to be okay by high season.
You know, speaking of the peso devaluation and the increase in the strength of the dollar, you know, a person like me who actually earns U.S. dollars, who lives in Mexico, is the big beneficiary. It gets cheaper and cheaper every single day for me to live in Mexico. Unfortunately, my neighbors don't have that same opportunity. But people like us who work online, who earn U.S. dollars and are located in low-cost, you know, places like Mexico, can really, really, really benefit and raise our standard of living. So it's possible that Donald Trump's going to hand me a bunch of money by accident.
Well, yeah, I mean, my house that I'm in, I have two houses south of Cancun that I rent out, and I take the money from one of those and I use it to pay my house here. When I rented this house, it was 18,000 pesos, right? Which at that time was just maybe a little over $1,000. Well, now that it's at 20 to 1, my 18,000 pesos just went down to about $850. I mean, it's $150 more in my pocket every month, you know, for doing nothing.
So do you think the big winners, a big winner in this could be retirees moving to Mexico?
Absolutely, I do. When you look at people on a fixed income, a lot of times, what is it the rate? I think the rate is like, 38%? Like, the average is, like, when you retire, the average is you have to live on 38% of what you used to make, something like that. And the average, I think the average Social Security in the United States right now is around $1,600 a month per person. I'm going to tell you, you know, on $1,600 a month, you can live in Cancun. Now, you won't live at the beach and you won't be, you know, in a fancy, you know, 3-bedroom or 4-bedroom home. But you can definitely find a really nice studio or possibly a 1-bedroom furnished apartment and live a very comfortable life on $1,600 a month.
Yeah. And in fact, if you don't locate yourself in Cancun and try other places like Chapala or other places in Mexico that are outstanding as well, you can really live inexpensively. For around here, you can get an apartment for, you can get a house for $300 a month. So, you know, Cancun's actually a high cost neighborhood.
Oh, I totally agree. We're the New York of Mexico, I guess.
Okay, Bill. Hey, listen, Bill, so basically we're about to cut it short here. We're almost on 30 minutes. Your summary of making money in the Trump administration is right now sit and wait and just kind of keep watching to see where this is going. You're not 100% sure which way it's going, but there's going to be some winners. Maybe the retirees moving to Mexico. There's going to be some winners in manufacturing. It's basically a wait and see if this guy really does what he says he's going to do.
Yeah, I mean, I would say if you have some money right now, your best investment is going to, you know, if you're talking about Mexico, your best investment is going to be probably land. If you find some good, you know, good land that's got good title, or, you know, possibly houses or property that you can rent or that you can resell later. And then I would put some money in gold or silver. I mean, silver is probably the best play right now. Other than that, yeah, I would say let's wait and see before we decide to slit our wrist and jump off a bridge. I mean, what a guy says to get the election and you know, what he does once he gets in office can be very different.
Oh, one more thing. Tonight we're going to have the NFL in Mexico. Before we leave, I want you to talk about that. What do you know what's going on? Are they going to put a team in Mexico? Is the NFL coming here for sure? What do you know?
I think they're going to do kind of the approach they did in London, from what I understand, reading, you know, NFL.com and ESPN and some of those. I think what they're going to do is they need to kind of test the waters. Obviously, there's a market here. There is a big market. People love NFL football. A lot of people love it. But just like they did in London, you know, they have to go there. They have to, you know, just because you've got 100,000 people that want to watch a football game, you've got all the logistics of the stadium and the teams and, you know, getting everybody in place and doing all those things. And I think they're probably going to do very much like what they've done in London. If you notice, the first year they did one game. The second year they did, I think, two games. And now they're doing 3 or 4 games in London. You know, there's talk of maybe a team being there. So I think you're going to see very much the same pattern in Mexico City, you know, over the next couple of years. They'll start putting some games there. And if it works out, yeah, I could possibly see a team down here at some point, maybe 5 or 10 years from now. Yeah, I mean, I know that there's a lot of hoops that, you know, the owner, you know, there'd have to be an owner, they'd have to qualify, they'd have to meet all the NFL standards. And then again, you know, it's the National Football League. Would they change that to International Football League? I don't know. So there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of hoops to jump through and a lot of I's to dot and T's to cross before that could happen. But yeah, probably more 10 years, probably more like 10 years away from that. But I see it happening.
Okay, Vikings fan, give me a prediction tonight. Raiders versus Texans. Who's going to win?
Raiders by 10.
Raiders by 10. You heard it big. Bill Mabra. Did I pronounce that right? Mabra, Mabra. What? How do you pronounce your name, man?
Well, it's Mabra, long A, short A. But in Mexico, I have to say Mabra because if I say Mabra, they spell my name with an E because E is A down here.
I tell you, international business. What can I tell you? Folks, thanks very much, Bill. Glad to have you on the Johnny Punish Show. Let's get together again, talk about money making in about 6 months when we kind of get a better picture with what's happening with Trump, okay?
All right, JP. Thanks for having me.
Good day, America! From the deserts to the sea, from the mountains to the snow, this concludes today's Johnny Punish Show. Produced by the Veterans Today Network and BTN Radio. Brought to you by HireVeterans.com, America's job board for U.S. veterans. I'm your host, Johnny Punish, wishing you an amazing day. Until we meet again!